Let's speak together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Today is, as many of you know, Palm Sunday. And though we are going to look at the Lord's Creed, the Apostles' Creed, I want us to take a moment and reflect on Palm Sunday. This was a time when the disciples and those came together and they took the palm branches and they waved them to the Lord. Hosanna to the King of David, the Son of David. They were waving, they were telling people, this is something special, this is something great. We'll be talking about that more in a few minutes. Palm Sunday is a day we start celebrating what's called Holy Week. It's a culmination of Jesus' ministry here on earth. Today starts a day where things look as great as they can get. And as far as the world would look at things, everything goes downhill after that. If you've ever been in that spot where you think like everything's going great and then everything falls apart, that's Jesus. That's his life. That's what he's preparing for to go into. But on this day, the disciples, everyone around is thinking everything is great. Nothing can go wrong. And things are going to change. The wonderful thing we know is though everything seemed to go wrong, actually, nothing went wrong. In Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 28, says, after this, had said this, he went ahead to up to going to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethany on the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples saying, go to the village ahead and you will enter. You will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Tell him, the Lord needs it. By the way, this in itself was a miracle. If anybody has dealt with horses, you know, or colts, or donkeys, if one has never been ridden, the first one getting on it is going to be on the ground. Unless you're Jesus. And those went ahead and found it, as he told them. As they were untying the colt, the owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? And they replied, the Lord needs it. And they brought it to Jesus, and they threw their cloaks on the cloak on the colt and put Jesus on it. As they went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when they came near the place, the road goes to the Mount of Olives. The whole crowd of the disciples again joyfully praising God and singing loud voices to the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise, peace in the highest, and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Other places they talk about, they cried out, hail to the King of the Son of David. They had talked about the fact that they had cut down the palm branches and they are waving them. I encourage you this week to look through the Gospels and read the accounts of this great day. But as we look back at the Lord's Creed, I want to point out something here. The Apostles' Creed starts out with the words, I believe. And I believe here is not the fact that it's I believe is like 2 + 2 = 4. Not like I believe The Lord of the Rings is a great book. We can argue the second one. You'd be wrong. But the first one, if you say 2 + 2 = 5, no. Excuse me. Still chasing away that cold. I believe is not something that I hope is right or I think is right or you can disagree with me. This is something when we say I believe, we're believing that it's true. It's 2 + 2 = 4. This is something that is true, not just our opinion. When it talks about Jesus in the Apostles' Creed, we talked about it a little last week. Jesus Christ, his only Son, being the Son of the Father, and yet God in some miraculous, unknown way. Our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, buried, descended into hell or death. And during this Holy Week, we will reflect on these things. On Good Friday, we'll reflect on the fact that Jesus was crucified. And that this was an event that actually took place. It wasn't something metaphysical or something that the disciples imagined. This is something that took place, which is why Pontius Pilate was named specifically. This is a historical fact. Jesus died. He was crucified, which is one of the worst ways to die. In fact, Roman law said that a Roman citizen could not be crucified because it was so horrific. In fact, one Roman person wrote the fact that just the thought of a Roman being crucified should not even take place. And yet Jesus was crucified. However, today I want to look again at Palm Sunday. The day when they proclaimed that Jesus was Lord. They proclaimed in a real sense that he was king, because the title Son of David was a royal title. They were saying, by saying this, this is our king. It's no wonder the religious leaders and other people were upset. They were saying he was a king. But what did the people think? When we think about what does it mean when we talk about Jesus being Lord? You may want something or want to believe something, but that doesn't make it so. The last couple of presidential elections, we've had people come out and said, not my president. Guess what? Doesn't matter whether you say it or not. He is. Doesn't matter whether you voted for him. He got it. Not my. Yeah, he is. Denying it isn't going to change anything. Just because you believe something or don't want to believe something doesn't make it so. So how what we believe is important, whether what we believe is true or not. Years ago, I decided I was going to make this very expensive recipe for clam chowder. Called for not using milk, using cream. And half and half. I mean, this was and clams that weren't cheap, and clam juice, and I got all the stuff together, and I made up the roux and mixed it in and got the flour and poured it out and started adding this stuff, or didn't realize, I believed, I should say, that I got the flour. There's something called powdered sugar. You know, I like sweet things. The bacon, the clams, the half and half with powdered sugar just didn't taste the same. I had to throw it all out. See, I believed it was so, but it wasn't so. I believed I got the right thing. Nowadays, my wife has nice big things on the side of our canister saying flour, powdered sugar, so I can't mess up. So we can believe something about Jesus. We can believe something about our Lord, but that doesn't make it so. So what did the people, what happened during that time? What did the people of that time see? Well, Jesus, of course, saw himself as the Messiah. In fact, he saw himself as God, if you realize it. Because what did he say to the Pharisees, the leaders of the time? He said, if these people don't cry out, the very rocks will cry out. If you read Psalms 148 and many other Psalms, but that's one that came to my mind. It talks about the earth rejoicing in the Lord. In Romans chapter 1, it talks about the fact that Paul says creation itself points that there is a God. By Jesus saying, if these ones don't cry out, creation will cry out. He was a very, very strongly telling them, by the way, I'm the one that creation sings out to. And only one could do that, and that's God. It's no wonder they were kind of upset. They didn't want to accept that. The demons, of course, they had opinions of Jesus too. In Matthew 8:29, it says, what have you come to punish us before our time? The demons realized that Jesus is the one that was going to punish evil. The people at the time, and the disciples even, had gone out. And we get the name Palm Sunday from the fact that they took the palms and they were waving them. Now, most of us, when we see somebody doing this, we usually think of something from a movie. I got to pick on Anita. She's right there. You know, somebody doing this. And what are they doing there? No drama there. We think of somebody being fanned or somebody being honored maybe, or your royalty. That's not what this meant to the Jews of that time. See, they had just come through several years before what was called the Maccabean Rebellion, where the Jews had thrown off the Greeks. And then during that rebellion, the symbol for the Maccabees was the palm branch. So when somebody took these out and they were waving them, it was their equivalent of us taking the American flag and waving it. Now, if I could take the American flag out and we're having a parade and I'm waving it, what am I saying? I'm trying to be patriotic, right? I'm saying this is one thing that honors our country. For the Jews, when they were waving these, they were telling everyone around them, this is our political king. This is the guy who's going to throw off Rome. They were very much looking at Rome and saying, eh. They were waving the flag in a very real sense, saying, this is our Messiah. Except the problem is, they were seeing Jesus as a physical king, come to rule militarily over the people of Israel. One that was going to take up arms and run off the bad guys. The one who was going to set things right. He was going to be a leader of men. They were saying, hey, get ready to raise up arms. Find your weapons. We're going to raise up and throw off Rome. That's what they were saying. But as we know, that wasn't the Lord Jesus came to be at that moment. They had an idea in their heads. This is what Jesus should be. This is the Lord we wanted. We know Peter looked for an earthly kingdom. Because when Jesus started teaching his disciples about suffering in Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 and 23, Jesus was talking about suffering and dying, and Peter took him aside and said, no way, not going to happen on my watch. Paraphrase there. Not going to happen, God. Not going to happen, Lord. Not going to happen. I can just see Peter doing this. I'm not going to let it take place. You're going to tell God what he's going to do. Peter was like, this is the way it's going to be. James and John also had their idea that it was going to be an earthly kingdom. They thought the Lord that they were going to serve was going to be an earthly kingdom because they instead of just going to Jesus, they sent their mama. Always, sometimes the better thing to do, send mom to butter it up. And we see that in Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 and 21, that they send their mom, and their mom goes to them and says, hey, when you come into your kingdom, let my son sit on your right or your left in that position of power, earthly power. Again, they're thinking this earthly kingdom. Judas also was thinking of an earthly kingdom because he was hoping to get ahead. Scripture says that in one very real sense, he was a thief. He wanted the wealth in John chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. He was looking for the wealth. Some people believe that Judas may have actually betrayed Jesus in the hopes that Jesus would, at that moment, come out of his little shell and prove that he was God. But at the end of the day, Judas did it to get ahead for himself. Whether it's some ulterior motive that we don't understand or don't know about, doesn't matter. He still betrayed Christ. And why was it? Probably because he was looking for something for himself. A Lord that would serve him. We come to Pilate. Pilate wanted, we see in John chapter 19, verses 1 through 12, he wanted sort of a reasonable Lord, a king that would just sort of be quiet and go away. He came to ask Jesus questions and, what's going on? Jesus just kept quiet. Pilate was willing to let him go, even though he admitted that he was a king. He just wanted him to be quiet and go away. There's some people who want Jesus to be that way too. Jesus, I don't mind your Lord. I just wanted you to go be quiet and leave. Leave me alone. Herod wanted Jesus to be something too. In Luke chapter 23, verses 8 and 9, we see that Herod wanted Jesus to be a miracle worker, sort of a genie god that would just perform tricks for him. And Jesus would have no part of that. We go on and we see that the religious leaders, they wanted a Lord to be status quo. In fact, they went so far as saying, we don't want Jesus, we'll take Caesar. Now think about this. This is like someone having an abusive spouse saying, oh no, I'll go ahead and keep this abusive person because I understand what I've got here. They were not in a good place. Now here, the truth is, they actually, the religious leaders, they were in a better place than most people. And they didn't want to take a chance of losing what they had. So they were willing to say, we'll take Caesar as our Lord rather than whatever this Lord is. And there are people who decide in our life today, we don't want Jesus as our Lord. We want something to keep the status quo that won't disrupt my life. I feel okay. Let's not disrupt anything. The soldiers weren't looking for our Lord. They were looking for someone to mock. We see that in Luke chapter 23. One of the thieves on Jesus' side in Luke chapter 23, verse 39, was looking for a rescuing Lord. He was looking for someone to come rescue him. Hey, rescue yourself and us. He had kind of that foxhole prayer. I'm in trouble. Get me out of this. Yeah, get yourself up. Take me with you. And all of these pictures of Jesus, though people believed them, were wrong. The religious leaders, though they rejected Jesus at the time, they're one day going to stand before him. Pilate one day will have to stand before Jesus and find out this is not some quiet person he could send away. Herod is going to find out that the miracle-working Jesus is somebody he's going to have to answer to. And the people who wanted an earthly kingdom soon found out that Jesus wasn't here to build an earthly kingdom. Because in 70 AD, the Romans came in and destroyed the city of Jerusalem. The religious leaders who said, we want the status quo, we'll take Caesar, got Caesar in all his worst form when he destroyed probably one of the greatest wonders of the world. But there were exceptions. We see two people who weren't quite ready to make Jesus entirely Lord, named Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. In John chapter 19, verses 38 through 42, though Jesus had been crucified, they came and took Jesus and buried him. At this point, there was nothing to gain and everything to lose. And yet something within them said, we need to stand up for our Lord. There was another person, an exception. She came to Jesus. We see her story in Mark chapter 14, verse 3 through 14. This woman saw a dying Lord because she came and anointed him. And when the disciples said, what is going on? Why is she wasting this? Jesus says, she is anointing me for my burial. Jesus says, she understands what's going on. She gets it. She saw that the Lord was going to die. No one else got it, but she understood. And there was one other exception. The thief on the cross. He said, Lord, remember me when you enter your kingdom. One thief had said, just save me. He wanted the foxhole prayer. The other one said, Lord, just remember me when you enter your kingdom. Now, I don't know about you, but people dying on a cross are not getting a kingdom. I sometimes would talk with people who were on hospice, because I was a hospice chaplain for many years. And somebody would say, yeah, and I'm not talking about somebody who's just doing poorly. I'm talking somebody, they're going to be dead within the week. yeah, mom is going to get better and everything's going to be great and we're going to go on vacation and we're going to do this. And it's like, no, you're not. You're not going to go to Florida. You're not going to do these things. And you try to do it with the best understanding you can, the most love you can, because to see someone you love dying is, it's horrible. And yet, this was an unrealistic thing. This man knew Jesus was dying. And yet he said, Lord, when you enter your kingdom, remember me. One unnamed woman recognized Jesus was going to suffer. And one thief on the cross, who in all the other people around him only saw a dying Savior, saw a risen Lord. It's no wonder Jesus looked at him and said, today you will be with me in my kingdom. You will be with me in paradise. Because he got it. The disciples that had been for 3.5 years, clueless. The people, clueless. Pilate, Herod, clueless. But this one thief saw a resurrected Lord. The question we have to ask ourselves today, when we read the Apostles' Creed and we believe about Jesus, what do we believe about Jesus when we say, Jesus, our Lord? Are we wanting something that he isn't? Are we wanting someone to actually be the Lord of our life? Because if you believe something that isn't true, it's not going to help you. The Creed tells us that Jesus was willing to suffer. He was a man, yet God. He died, was buried. He went into the realms of death. And yet, as we'll celebrate next week, he rose again. Next week, we'll celebrate this victorious Lord. But I think we need to make sure to spend time right now realizing this was also Lord. This was a Jesus who was betrayed, who suffered, who bled. This was the Jesus who looked into heaven and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? I don't know about you, but there are times in my life, I'm glad for the resurrected Savior, don't get me wrong. I'm glad we have a hope for something better. But there are many times in my life, I need the Jesus who wept in the garden. I need the Jesus who looked around and all saw his friends run away. I need the Jesus who cried out on the cross, God, where are you? Because there are times in my life, that's where I am. And the good news is our Lord has been there. Our Lord has been the suffering servant. Our Lord has been there and felt betrayed. And he doesn't come across and just give nice platitudes. Sometimes I believe he just weeps with us. We need that Jesus. I need that Jesus. I need the Jesus who knows me and yet loves me. That's the Lord I need. The question we have to ask ourselves today is, what have you made Jesus? And are you willing to make him the Lord, the real Lord that he is in your life? Dear Father, I ask right now for each one of us that, Father, we would commit ourselves anew to you, that we would truly make you Lord of our life. Lord, we are thankful that you died and you rose again, that we have hope for eternal life. But Lord, we are thankful that you're willing to be our Lord now, where we're at, amongst what we're suffering. So Lord, walk with us and be with us now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.